Okay, as always, the Torah should be Lishmas Rav Gashem and Rav Ari Leib. And since we introduced last week the Yemei Aslichus within which we find ourselves now, and this is our final share for this year, and the last one before the upcoming Rosh Hashanah, Avo Aleinu L'Tova, I'd like to begin by sharing with you a story that I read a couple of years ago about a family that had decided to holiday for a short time in Tveria. And whilst the father of the family went to Daven by the cave of Rumeir Balanes, the mother and her two daughters went down to bathe in the Kinneret. And as they were bathing, one of the daughters, the older of the two, drifted a little out further than she should have, and being unable to swim, began to struggle as the depth beneath her suddenly
dropped.
And her mother, realizing that her daughter was in a predicament and herself unable to swim, ran back up the verge, back to the road, and frantically started trying to wave down the cars to get someone's attention that maybe someone could come and help. They were alone, deserted, on a beach on their own, probably wasn't season. And a fancy car pulls over to the side, out of which a middle-aged gentleman steps out. And the mother says, "My daughter's drowning." He removes his jacket and immediately races down to the water, jumps straight in, and swims out. And the mother comes racing down behind him, trying to keep up. Obviously, he was a lot fitter than she was. And he comes back to shore. And to the mother's horror, she sees that the girl who he's brought back to shore was the younger sister, not the older one. And she assumed correctly that while she had run to try and flag someone down to come and assist them, the younger one, in desperation, had jumped in to try and help her older sister, and also unaware of the sudden drop in the foot, in the base, in the floor of the river, also succumbed to the depths and unable to swim. So the mother says, no, her older sister's still in there. That's not her. That's her older sister's still there. So he jumps back in and starts swimming out. Says, "Where is she? Where is she?" She said, there. And he sees some, and he starts schlepping her back to shore. And as he gets closer to shore, he hears the shouts of people saying, her head, his head is still in the water. And into his horror, he realizes that he hadn't kept her head above the water, and rather it had been submerged. So he lifts it up in his last ditch attempt and brings it onto the shore. And he tried to do some sort of CPR until a medic came along, and he tried, but his assessment was that she had been submerged for too long, and the prognosis was that there wasn't much chance of her survival. The mother ambulance came, whisked off the two girls to hospital, and when they arrived, the doctors took her into, and the triage doctors looked at her and were rather grim with their assessment. And they decided after a short while they're actually going to take her in for an MRI scan. Once they had her hooked up to the machines, they took her in for an MRI scan, and the doctor came out with this unbelievable look on his face, and he turns to the mother and he says, I don't understand it, but her brain is fully functioning. She's going to recover. And within 2 days she left hospital. The parents decided after a few days that it was the right thing was to make a Sula Saidah. But the correct thing definitely was to try and invite the man who had saved this girl's life. But in the hullabaloo of what had gone on, no one had exchanged details or names. So they called back the hospital hoping that perhaps the gentleman had come to find out what had gone on and they'll be able to, and sure enough, Ayid is Ayid. The gentleman had been to the hospital to find out and found out that by the time he had come to visit the hospital after 3 days, the girl had already left, but they'd taken his details and they were able to give his details over. So the family calls him up, "We're making a Suda Seidah," and says, "You as one of the main players, we want to invite you to come to our Suda Seidah." Suddenly he finds out the address and he comes. And at the Suda Seidah, it became pretty evident really quick that this was the first time he had attended such a type of a gathering, and he was unacquainted with what was going on, and the surroundings were a little strange for him. But it was also very clear and evident that he wanted to say a few words. And he was given the floor, and he stood up and he said the following. He said, I am a man who grew up as a young boy on a kibbutz, foreign to anything, to any of the lifestyle that you people are living. I actually was an Olympic swimmer in my youth, and then after injury and other ailments, I wasn't able to continue. I actually have just recently been recovering from a heart attack. And a few days ago, I was holidaying with my wife, and I told her in the hospital, in the hotel, I feel that as part of my recovery, I need to go and have a swim. And she said to me, what do you mean you need to go and have a swim? It's dangerous. You just had a heart attack. You can't go for a swim. I told her, look, I just feel I need to. I have to. And I went. She said, I went for a swim and I swam a few laps, a few times. I now know why I had that urge. Had I not got myself into the water and started to swim again, I would never have had the courage or the ability to be able to go out and save the two girls. He says, but I want to tell you actually what happened after I left the scene. After the ambulance left, I ran back to my car and I broke down in tears and I said to my wife, I killed this girl. I cannot believe what I've just done. She said, what do you mean? She said, I tried to save her. I didn't realize. I saved the one girl, and then the other one, if I would have kept her head above the water, and I just wasn't aware, and it's my fault. And I was beside myself. And we drove on, and after about an hour, I went back to the scene, and I climbed the nearby mountain to the top, and I began to double. And I said, Rabbeinu Shalom, I have never davened to you in my life. In fact, I was very scornful about davening, ridiculed davening as I was being brought up. And this is going to be the first tefillah that I'm ever going to daven. But I ask you, I can't live knowing that I brought the end of this young child's life. I ask you, please, consider all those tefillahs that I could have davened and should have davened as being part of the tefillah that I'm davening now, and help that girl recover. He says, I finished praying, I descended the mountain and I walked over and drove over to the hospital, and I asked them how the girl is doing, and they told me, you won't believe it, after inquiring what my business was, to find out that you won't believe it, but an hour ago we took a scan and things just suddenly turned for the best. He said, and I realized that happened at exactly the time that I was davening at the top of that mountain. And I realize now how powerful tefillah is. Be'ez Hashem, we have an opportunity to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. To daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on the top of a mountain, on Rosh Hashanah, on the top of a mountain of a whole new year, with the opportunity to connect to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to be part of Gilui Kvod Shamayim in a geshmak away in the coming year. How do we daven? How do we daven like that man davened at the top of the mountain on that day? And maybe even we can daven with a bit more simcha as well. How do we do it? There's an amazing Balaturim at the end of next week's parasha. The Balaturim tells us that there's a word, v'karos, that appears four times in Tanakh. The conjugation of the word with the shoresh korah, to call out, and it's written vav kuf resh aleph tof v'koros in that spelling four times. The first is in Parshas Lech Lecha, when Hagar is given the damning report about the fact that she's going to have a son to be called Yishmael. Hino choro, says the Malach to Hagar, you are going to fall pregnant, but you're ladet bein, and you're going to give birth to a son. V'koros Shemoy Yishmael, and you should call his name Yishmael. The second time appears at the end of next week's parasha, right towards the end of the Torah, the end of Parashas Vayelech, where the Torah tells us, "V'karos eschem hara ba'achris ayomim," and bad will happen to you in the end of days. And I've always had the kasha: if the Torah is telling us that bad will happen, then the shurish of that word is kara kuf resh hay, not kuf resh aleph, to call. What does the Torah mean? Bad will call out to you in the end of days. And the other two times that this word appears is in Yeshaya. One is Apostle, V'karos Shemoi Imanu Kel, you should call his name, that Hashem is with us. And the final one is in the after of last week's parasha, V'karos Yeshua Choyim Isaiah, and you will call out salvation in your walls. And the Balaturim, uniquely both in Parashas Lech Lecha and in next week's parasha, says that there's a thread between all these four times that Vakaros is mentioned in Tanakh, and that thread weaves a tapestry of history that creates the beautiful picture that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants to relate to us. When Yishmael was called Yishmael, it's really puzzling why he was called Yishmael. The mother tells his mother, Hinochara, you're going to fall pregnant, you're going to give birth to a son. V'koros Shema Yishmael, call him Yishmael. Do you know why you should call him Yishmael? Ki Shoma Hashem El Onyeh, because the Rebbeinu Shalom heard your tefillah. And the Pirkei Rabbeinu asks, V'lo Manikri Shema Yishmael. Why is he called Yishmael? Now, the Pasuk just told us, he's called Yishmael. Ki Shoma Hashem El Onyeh. But what the Pirkei Rabbeinu, where Rabbeinu God is asking, if he was to be called Yishmael because Hashem was Shoma Hashem El Onyeh, then why is he called Yishmael? Hashem will listen. He should be called Shomakel. Hashem did listen. And Rabbi Elazar HaGadol teaches us that there's nothing in the Torah that's written and that's taught to us Klal Yisrael other than for us Klal Yisrael. And if Yishmael is given a name by a malach and that's recorded in the Torah, then there's no reason for him being given that name other than for us to learn something from it. And he was called Yishmael for Klal Yisrael. Says the Pirkei Rabbi Elazar, V'lo manikra Yishmael Yishmael, ki osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lishmaya, be'enkas Yisrael be'achris hayomim. Because the Rebbeinu Shalom is going to listen to the tefillahs of Klal Yisrael, to the cries of Klal Yisrael, Ba'achris Hayomim, Mima She'asidim La'aso Yisrael, B'nei Yishmael Be'artom, from what the B'nei Yishmael are going to do to them in their land. So do you know why he's called Yishmael? Klal Yisrael, when Ba'achris Hayomim, in Eretz Yisrael, B'nei Yishmael are causing you sorrows, remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu predicted that. Remember, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him a name that tells us when he's giving you tzoros, call out to me. I want to hear from you. So when V'koros Eschem Ara B'achris Hayomim, nothing happens by chance. When bad happens, no. When bad calls out to us B'achris Hayomim, from B'nai Yishmael, in Eretz Yisrael, what's it for? To tell us, to daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. She'osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lishmoya B'en Kas Yisrael. What's tefillah? Tefillah is where we connect with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, where we realize that we are inseparable from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. From one of the ways of explaining, one of the Sharoshim that Tefillah has in it is from a Loshon of Psila. Naftule Elokim Niftalti, one of the explanations is a Loshon of a Psila, a wick, which is many strands of material that have been interwoven with one another, and intertwined with one another, that they become inseparable. Lehispalel is to make myself connected with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. V'koros Shemai Imanu Keil. Hashem is with us and we are with Hashem. That's the third time it's mentioned. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu therefore says to us, if that's what you'll do, if when Yishmael causes you tzoros, you realize it's calling out to you to daven to become closer to me, then V'koros Yishua Chom Yisayef. The result from that will be that there'll be salvation in your walls. Tefillah teaches us the Baal HaTurim is Dveikus with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's at one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's where we become one with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. You know, we often make a mistake that tefillah is some sort of formula whereby if we say it, we get what we need to get. Almost like an Avodah Zarah. If I do the Avodah, then I get the Shefa. It's a mistake that we sometimes make. I tell you, we had the tremendous chus of being able to run over the last 10 years, 8 of the last 10 years, running a summer camp in the Ukraine. And I'll never forget a story that happened, I think it was in either 2008 or 2009, that in those days still, probably 2008, or perhaps even 2007, but in those days when we went there in Ukraine, it was even more backward than it still is today, and very few mobile phones around, and you had this one mobile company that had pretty good reception and that you could use to call abroad. You had to get a particular SIM card, and it had worked only in certain phones, and then you had to top up your SIM card. But you couldn't just buy top-ups, and you couldn't buy many at one go, because, you know, a shop didn't want to sell you all its supply. It wanted to make sure it had for all its customers, or potential customers. So you'd get one or two top-ups at a time. But having 35, 36 bochrim, you want to call home to abroad, your credit gets used up pretty quick. So we asked the boys, if you do us a favor, anyone that calls home, this is the camp phone, you call home, just ask your parents to call you right back. Here's the number, we gave it out before we left. Ask them to call you back. And generally it worked a dream. Except for one kid. There was one kid, every time he used it, he didn't get off, and he always run the credit down to the end. But when you're with Bochrim, you don't need to say a word, they say it for you. And they said to him, hey, what's the deal? What's going on? Every time you're on the phone, we run out of credit. And then we have to wait till we get to another shop that sells the top-ups for that company. And then we're all stuck. And one of the other Bochrim, you know, you've always got one wise crack, he says, I've always noticed it's when you always use the phone when we're in a town. Like when we stop off in a town. So the kid says, yeah, you're right. Well, basically what it is whenever we get to a bank, I need to call my dad up for a PIN code for our account. You know, there's no and the ATM machines weren't so sophisticated there either, or they were broken or had been vandalized. So you went into a bank and they got called up the bank in Kiev, and then they would call up the bank for him, and he had to give some sort of code. I said to him, look, how long is the code? You know, normally it's 4 digits or so. If you want, I can remember it for you. I can store it in my phone. If you prefer that it's even more discreet, you know, we can have he'll be digit number 1, he'll be digit number 2, he'll be digit number 3, I'll be digit number 4. We'll make sure it doesn't get shared around between anyone. So he said, no, it's not going to work. I said, why? He says, well, my dad changes the PIN every time. He changes the code. I said, really? Why? Is it like a limitless card, or is it, can you draw down as much as you want? He said, no, it's less than 2,000 euro to go. I said, so what's the deal? He says, I'll tell you the deal. He says, I'm a massive spender. I spend the whole time. And also, I never speak to my dad. I never call home. I'm independent. I never call home. But my dad knows I need money. So what he does is he changes the PIN code that I have to call him up for it. Once I'm on the phone, so what are you doing? Where are you going? And he doesn't let me go until the phone runs out. I have to stop speaking. Sometime after that, I wondered whether sometimes we think about tefillah in the same way. We think tefillah is a PIN code. It's like we put the card in, we type in the PIN, and the cash is meant to come out. As long as we say Ata Chonen, we're going to get intellect. As long as we say Rufo'enu, we're going to be healthy. As long as we say Baruch Aleinu, there's going to be a Shefa Paranasa. As long as we say Hashiveinu Avinu L'Sarasecha, we're done, we're sorted with our Tshuva. As long as we say V'kavithu Dochenu Avinu L'Sarat, and somehow we're still in Golos. So why is the PIN code not working? And sometimes it doesn't work exactly like we thought the formula is meant to work. It doesn't work that way. Because Tefillah, the Rabbeinu Shalom is not a cash machine. The Rabbeinu Shalom is not the bank. The Rabbeinu Shalom is the Father who wants the relationship. He wants to hear. He wants to find out. He wants us to share and express with Him. He wants the connection. He wants the Imanu Kale, that we are with Him and He is with us. That's what He wants Tefillah to be. Years ago, I heard a story which is also perhaps a mashal for Tefillah. You know, after the East and West split, and you had Romania and Czechoslovakia and that block of countries which were part of the communist bloc, and they put up their border fences beyond which they ploughed the land and planted all their mines, after which there was some no man's land, and then there was the Free West. And many families, as we know, were separated and broken apart when that happened. Parents found themselves on one side, children on the other, and there was no way that either that the communists were letting anyone out. And there was a young boy, a young teenager, who found himself left on the communist side, and his parents somehow, their luck was that them and the rest of the mishwacha, or some of them, had got to the other side. And this boy was desperate to get out. Obviously, he wanted to be with his parents and to be out of the, and to be in free in the free world. And he would walk. He would spend his days walking up and down, miles and miles, day by day, up and down the border fence, trying to figure out where the shortest crossing is. Maybe not where the shortest crossing is, but where the crossing is that were he to try and traverse that area of land, if he would be able to hide in ditches, behind trees, behind mounds of earth. And eventually he works it out. And he also figured out that he's going to try and do this, obviously on a winter's night, where he's got the longest nights to be able to do it in. And the snow that hopefully will disguise him and disguise his scent from the dogs that may be sent after him. And he plans and he plans. And as was sometimes able in those days, you were through some undercover agents who was able to send messages to his parents and back. And he got a message from his mother that she knows where the best place to cross. She's inquired from people on her side. And if he makes the crossing during that month, the darkest nights and the longest nights, she's going to be waiting there. And she'll be waiting there night by night, waiting there for him. And he plans and he plans. And as he gets closer, the month before, each night, he's not really sleeping. His dreams also fluctuate between dreaming of seeing his parents again, a life of freedom, of food, of plenty, being together with his family, and then the cold sweat of awakening and if I get caught, if I get seen, if they send the dogs after me, if they start shooting, if I don't get across before daybreak. And it has this, the pachad, the euphoria, the pachad in these dreams. And he's dreaming and he's hoping. He gets the week before, he starts to think he's got it all planned, he's got the route planned. He's trying to get as much sleep and get as much koyach as he can and build up his energy so that he can make the break when he needs to. And as he's getting closer, he's thinking so much about, I hope my parents will have forgotten the grief I gave them over the last few years. I hope they'll forget the times that I didn't listen to them. I hope they're not going to remember all the times that I really gave them such a hard time. And they're just going to be looking forward to seeing me like I can't wait to see them. And the night comes, and the night arrives, and he cuts through the fence, he makes his way across, and every leaf that bristles in the wind, and every breath that he takes, he's wondering whether it's being heard. His heart's pounding so hard, he's sure that it can be, that the sounds that can be heard to everyone else, but he makes his way, and he slowly makes his way. When he thinks that something's blowing towards him, and it's just the snow in the wind, and he thought it was a bullet rushing past his ear, and he reaches beyond enemy territory, and now there's just 2 miles of no man's land. And he realizes, hey, he can't be shot, but he's not yet a free man. He's out of danger and he starts to run. And the adrenaline kicks in and he starts to run those 2 miles like he's never run before. But without knowing how to express the euphoria and the excitement and the relief, he just starts to scream. He's just running and screaming. It doesn't matter if anyone hears now because no one can stop him anyway. But it's just the outpouring of emotion is the screams. And his mother hears those screams, and she knows this is her son, and she's waiting, and he comes, and he climbs that wall, and he gets to the other side, and his mother's waiting, and he sees his mother, and he screams towards her, and he comes, and he embraces her, and he hugs her, and then there's the absolute silence. There's moments of absolute silence, not a word. And looking back, he remembers those moments and he thinks to himself of how he was running towards that moment. The thoughts that were going through his mind. How excited I am and how I can't wait to see my parents and how I can't wait to be with them and how I can't, so much about himself and how I've managed. But once he was in the arms of his mother, the thoughts of himself disappeared. The only thing he thought about was his mother. And when he embraced his father, the only thing he thought about was his father. I'm with him. There was no other thought that went through his mind. And that's what happens to us when we get to Rosh Hashanah. We may have drifted away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has told us there's going to come a moment where you're going to be able to get through that enemy territory. You'll get through. You'll get through that week of Slichus, and we're going to arrive beyond Shabbos, and we're going to come in to Rosh Hashanah. And at Rosh Hashanah, the Rabbeinu Shalom takes us and embraces us. And at that moment, when we finish screaming our Shema Koleinu, when we finish screaming our Oshamnu Bagadnu, the Rabbeinu Shalom now gives us a hug. And there's no other thought in our minds other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We don't think about ourselves, we don't talk about our Chatoyim, we don't talk about our future, we talk about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. His Malchus, it's about Him, the way He created the world, what He did for us, the Zichronus of what's happened in the past, it's all about Him. There's nothing about us. Look through the Nusach of Tefillah. That's what Chazal told us. It's a total negation of oneself. And in fact, Chazal tells us as well, in the Sfarim right, that to guarantee that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is actually going to bestow us with everything that we want from our Rosh Hashanah, we take our Ani, we take our ego, and we take it and we give it L'doidi. Ani, I give L'doidi. And then we're guaranteed that V'doidi. The Rebbeinu Shalom gives everything to me for the coming year that I need. Because I'm completely giving myself up to Him. And perhaps the epitome of that is going to be when we blow the shofar. The Gemara in Maseches Shabbos tells us that there are certain things that we try to learn out from shofar. And the Gemara in Shabbos on Daf Kuf Lamed Aleph from Abayis tells us The shofar of Rosh Hashanah you can't learn to other mitzvahs. Shekein machneses zichronis shel Yisrael la'avi en sheva shomein. When we blow the shofar of Rosh Hashanah, it's the power of that shofar is unique because it enters, so to speak, all the memories of Klal Yisrael into the mind, kavi yochel of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, into the heart of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The power of that shofar is entering all those memories of everything that's been there at that moment that HaKadosh Baruch Hu hugs us, and all the memories flood back to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah, Daf Chofov, tells us that Kohen Gadol wouldn't go with Big Day Zav, Lifnai V'Lifnim, because in Kategor Nasi Sanego, says the Gemara, but what about he wears them when he's Bachutz? Yeah, Bachutz, we're not worried about in Kategor Nasi Sanego. It's only when it's Bifnim. Ah, so in that case, the Gemara there is discussing why you can't have a shofar Mitzupah Zav when you blow a shofar. The shofar is blown outside, it's not blown Bifnim, yet we still say that you can't have any gold on it. Says the Gemara, because Kibben Dilizikorin Hu Kabifnim Domi. Because what the shofar is doing is entering all these memories and all these feelings of closeness of us with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, it's so intimate and so powerful, it's like Lifnim. And just like when a person goes Lifnim, a person realizes that there's nothing else in the world, because in this Kodesh HaKadoshim there is only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Kohen Gadol knows there's nothing, and he's nothing, and nothing. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Shechina's there, and there's Ne'ena Min Amidah. It's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So too, when we blow the shofar, we realize, and we focus on the fact, there's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And in fact, the shofar, we mentioned, has three times that it was powerfully used in our history. Twice has been, and once Be'ez Hashem will be soon. The first time was by Akedas Yitzchak. The second time was by Mamad Ar Sinai. And Be'ez Hashem, the third time will be Le'asid Lover. And we mentioned those three in the Tefillah. Those three times that shofar was used. What did Avraham Avinu do at the Akedah? When that shofar is meant to remind us, and so to speak, it's Delizikorainu, it's Machneses Zichreinesh Shal Yisrael. It reminds Kaviyachal HaKadosh Baruch Hu of the Akedah. What did Avraham Avinu do? Avraham Avinu there went up to Haram Moriah with his only son, who was going to be the one in the world and the only one who would continue his legacy. His lifelong mission to teach the world about Emunah, to teach the world about the fallacy of paganism. And he's going to take his own son and shecht him, the most pagan act that had ever been done in the world, and take that one only person in the world who potentially could continue his legacy and destroy that, and there'd be no memory of Avraham Avinu. But Avraham Avinu said, it's not about me. It's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's about Avinu Shabbat Shalom. Moshe Rabbeinu stood at Har Sinai. He said to Klal Yisrael, Anochi Oimed Bein Hashem Ubein Eichem. And we normally translate that to mean, I'm going to stand as an intermediary between you and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, as Moshe Rabbeinu did when he said over the eight of the Aseret HaDibros. So the Baal Shem Tov HaKadosh, Anochi, the ego of a person is Oimeid Bein Hashem Ubein Eichem. And when we stood at Har Sinai, there was no Anoichius. We realized everything's HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There's going to come a time when that shofar is going to be blown again. It's going to be that day when Bayom Ahu Yi Hashem Echod Shmoyechod. Ramad Chamila Zeich Tzad Livracha said a few times, and I heard from him. He said, we talk about this in Oleinu. That's what we're davening for. And we say, Emes Malkeinu, Efes Zulose. There's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The problem is, a lot of times we think Epes Zulose. Ich bin Epes. We've got to realize there's Efes Zulose. There's nothing other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Nothing there other than HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And I take that Ani and I give that up for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Bayoy Mahu, Yiyye Hashem Echod Shmo Echod. The whole world will realize it's only HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And on Rosh Hashanah we stand in front of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we're Mamlech Hashem, and our tefillah is where we are totally mevatel ourselves to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. It's not about me. It's got nothing to do with me. It's got everything to do with HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That's tefillah. The Imanu came. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us. I mean, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is with us means HaKadosh Baruch Hu does everything. We're actually in the best hands. We're being looked after by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And tefillah is the negation of oneself. And that's why Chazal instituted that the tefillahs of Rosh Hashanah, the most profound of all those tefillahs, are, it's nothing about ourselves. In the davening of Rosh Hashanah, in one of the Piyutim, we say, "Letzoifen nistoreis b'yom din." The Rebbeinu Shlomo looks and he sees into the hiddenmost things of the world and of people, b'yom din. And then counterintuitively, we carry on, and with that, l'koina avodov badin, he acquires his servants badin, and then l'rachim amay b'yom din. He has rachmanis on us b'yom din. How does that work? When we say l'tzoifen nistoreis b'yom din, it's a pachad. But what it means is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at the Nistoris and says, "Rabid, you owe me a lot. After all I've given you, and that's what's going on in the Nistoris. The koina avod abadin, you become my eved." How's a person koina an eved? You know, in the days when slaves were brought across the seas, across the oceans, and they were pulled out of the hull of the ship, they were filthy, they were dirty, in torn clothes, covered in lice. They didn't speak the language of the land they came to. They were unable to converse. They were nebuchadnezzar. And along came people to buy slaves. They would walk into the market. How did they know who to buy? These were emaciated beings. They'd been maltreated, malnourished. How did they choose an eved? So those who knew what they were doing would come along and they'd look into the eyes of the slave and they'd look at their potential. And they'd say, "You come with me." They take them home, they bathe them, they give them new clothes, and then they'd nurture them and teach them how to be the eved. The Rebbeinu Shlom sees Letzofen Nistoris B'yom Din. The Rebbeinu Shlom looks into our Nistoris, he's not looking for the Averis. The Rebbeinu Shlom is the Avino Ovarachman. The Rebbeinu Shlom is Tzofen Nistoris B'yom Din, that means the Rebbeinu Shlom is looking for our potential. And with that, he says, "L'koina avada badin. I'll be koina that person badin." And Emela, the Rachim Amid, the Yom Din. He wants us to be a good Eved, so he's going to have Rachmanis on us. He's going to give us that Rachmanis, and he's going to show us how to do what we need to do and give us the things that we need to do. You know, there's a big question on Rosh Hashanah. The Zohar Kodesh says that a person who asks for one's own bakoshes, it's like a dog going and asking for. One thing is for sure. What the Rebbeinu Shalom would love from us is that we should ask for everyone else. And Chazal taught us that. That's why the whole of Tefillah is always B'loshon Rabim. Because the first way to begin to be Mevatel the Ani, the Anochius of who I am, is to say it's not about me. It's about Klal Yisrael. And that is at least the beginning of the Hispatlus of Ani. And with that, we daven to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may not yet appreciate the godless of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we may not yet appreciate the Romanness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, we don't. We daven those words because that's what the Anshei Knesset Hagdolah told us we have to aspire to, and that's what we really want. And therefore it helps us to focus on the fact that the Rebbeinu Shalom is the Kol Yochel, and the truth is without him nothing can happen. And that will get Rachmanis. But the way to start is to daven for each other. That, it's not about me. It's not about the Ani. Any relationship with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, with Klal Yisrael, with Yidden, is only going to be strengthened when the person's Ani, when the person's ego is minimized. And it's not about me, but it's about them. It's not about me, it's about HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The Rebbeinu Shlomo should give us the Siyata Dishmaya that we have beautifully a Shabbos so soon before Rosh Hashanah. It's a time when we're not involved in all the mundane tasks that we do on a regular day. And so we have a little bit of time to think and contemplate. The Tfilis of Shabbos aid us to do that. Shabbos itself is about the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu created the world. These are the days of Briyas HaOlam, where the Rebbeinu Shlom did create the world, leading up to the day of Rosh Hashanah, where he created mankind. And we did our first Avera, and we did our first Tshuva, and we sang Mizmor Shelilim HaShabbos. Toiv L'Hoydei Shlashem. There's nothing greater than to be able to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to praise HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to see the goodness of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we have a Shabbos within which we can look at our own personal potential and prepare ourselves that, yes, Rebbeinu Shlomo, when we get up in the morning and we'll say on Rosh Hashanah, "Moedei ani lefanecha melech chai v'kayom, shechazarta bi nishmosi b'chemlo." You've given me back in a Shomah for Tovshin Ayin Tes, and you've given it to me b'chemlo. As Rav Ron Gurevitz Shlita always quotes the Malbim, often quotes the Malbim, who says, what does chemlo mean? Chemlo and rachamim are two very similar words. Says the Malbim in Sefer Shmuel, rachamim is something, the mercy that you have on a being that has feelings. You see a being that has feelings, and it's going through a hard time, you have rachamim. Chemla is a description that's used for an expression that you can have even for an inanimate object that has no feelings. A table, a shtender. I have chemla on this shtender. What does that mean? That means I wouldn't want to see anything other than it being able to use it, to be used for its full potential. Chemla on something means I want to see it reach its full potential. Rabbeinu Shlom, Shechazar Tobi Nishmosi, Bechemla. If you gave it back to me, it's because you know that I have potential. You believe in me. Rabbo Emuna Secha, and your Emuna, your faithfulness, and your trust is great. Rabbeinu Shlom, please give us the Siyata Deshmeya that we should have the Koyach, and the clarity of mind, and the ability to concentrate, to daven for each other. I ask you all to daven for me, or daven for each other, Be'ez HaShem over Rosh Hashanah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us a Ksiva V'Chasim HaToyba, a good Kebench Deyo, with Nachas, with Menuchas HaNefesh, with Yishev HaDas, with Parnosa Barachova, with a big Geshmak HaChelek in Gilu Yehuda in the coming year. Amen.